Okay, the question today is, what keeps you from fixing things? And I think the most common statement would be, I don't know how. And from God's perspective, I believe the statement, I don't know how, is not good enough. I think God would come along and say, look, I've given you everything you need. You figure it out, how to fix this thing. You fix it. I can fix that. See, what one comedian said, get her done. Same thing. Yeah, I can fix that. Get it done. I don't care how you do it. Just get it done. Just fix this. What do you need to fix? Could be a broken relationship. Could be an addiction that you have. Could be your whole life. You know, I need to fix my whole life. The whole thing's messed up. Could be a project that you're working on. Could be a problem that you have. What is it that you need to fix? So, what keeps us from being able to fix things? In Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 11, if you would turn there, Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 11, asking the question, what keeps us from being able to fix things? Notice what this scripture tells us. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 11. It says, and I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happens to them all. So, being able to fix something doesn't necessarily rely on being the fastest, being the strongest, being the wisest, having all understanding, or your skills. And you would think, okay, if I'm going to fix something, I got to have all these things. I got to be the fastest, the strongest, to have all the wisest, the skills, have all understanding. No, it takes something more than that. And I want to look at some things that it takes to fix things today. And hopefully, by the time it's over, you'll be saying, I can fix that. Whatever comes your way. You know, in fact, that would be a good way to live your life, a positive affirmation. Whatever comes into your life, no matter how hard it may be, to in the back of your head to be able to say, you know, I can fix that. Instead of saying, you know, woe is me, I'm undone, I'll never have, you know, I can't figure this out. I can fix that. The first one is what keeps us from being able to fix things is what I call the trap of trying harder. The trap of trying harder. Let me read you a story. Let me put on my glasses. Because if I try harder to read this without my glasses, it's not going to work. It says, I'm sitting in a quiet room at an inn, a peaceful little place hidden back among the pine trees, about an hour out of Toronto. It's just past noon, late July, and I'm listening to the desperate sounds of a life or death struggle going on a few feet away. There's a small fly burning out the last of its short life's energy in a futile attempt to fly through the glass of a window pane. The whining wings tell the poignant story of the fly's strategy. Try harder, but it's not working. The frenzied effort offers no hope for survival. Ironically, the struggle is part of the trap. It's impossible for the fly to try hard enough to succeed at breaking through the glass. Nevertheless, this little insect has staked its life on reaching its goal through raw effort and determination. This fly is doomed. It will die there on the windowsill. Across the room, 10 steps away, the door is open. 10 seconds of flying time, and this small creature could reach the outside world it seeks, with only a fraction of the effort now being wasted. It could be free of this self-imposed trap. The breakthrough possibility is there. It would be so easy. Why doesn't the fly try another approach? Something dramatically different. How could it get so locked in on the idea that this particular route and determined effort offers the most promise for success? What logic is there in continuing until death to seek a breakthrough with more of the same? No doubt this approach makes sense to the fly. regrettably, it's the idea that will kill it. Trying harder isn't necessarily the solution to achieving more. It may not offer any real promise for getting what you want out of life. Sometimes, in fact, it is a big part of the problem. If you stake your hopes for a breakthrough on trying harder than ever, you may kill your chances for success. That's a bitter lesson to learn, but you do have to learn that sometimes. I know I've had to learn that lesson over several times in my life, that it's not just an issue of trying harder. And you can feel like that fly, you know, just burning out its last bit of energy, and it will never get through. And one of the things I've noticed is that a lot of people, I guess, who are not converted, don't have the Holy Spirit of God, they will do this. They will try and try and try and try and try harder, and they will burn themselves out. You see, the answer is the open door 10 feet away called salvation, called repentance and receiving God's Holy Spirit. That's receiving God's Holy Spirit. That's the answer. The answer is simple. Very simple. There's an open door 10 steps away called salvation, repentance, receiving the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm not going to try that. I'm going to try to get through this little window, burn my energy up, and die. Die trying harder. So, it's your choice. So, the trap of trying harder often keeps us from being able to fix the things in our lives that need to be fixed. Second, humility. And how many times have I heard, well, if I can't do it right, I don't do it at all. And that's what they're good at, doing nothing at all. It's obvious. You look at them, they don't do anything. And that's the excuse over and over again. Well, if I can't do it right, I'm not even going to do it at all. That's my motto, you know. I've heard that, I don't know how many times, but they're good at doing nothing at all. And what I'm talking about is temporarily accepting the lesser to achieve the greater. Temporarily accepting the lesser to achieve something greater. I've had this to happen in my life several times. One was when I was dating Teresa. And I believe in love at first sight. For me. Now, you may disagree with that, but it worked for me. And something happened, you know, I met her, and then something happened. We split up. Couldn't get back together. And I thought, and I really didn't care about, I dated a few other women, but they didn't mean anything to me. You know, I just thought, okay, you know. And I thought, okay, I can't get Teresa, so I'm going to have to accept the lesser. And I dated a girl, and I thought, well, okay, we'll go out and eat and hang out and maybe go see a movie or something. She didn't mean anything to me. But it was the willingness to do that, to accept that lesser. And in the next week, everything in my life turned around. We got back together. And it was like this temporarily willingness to accept the lesser to get something greater. I know the first time that I tried to turn this building into a church building. I said, okay, I'm going to build a church here. Everything went wrong. I mean, it was like I was butting my head against the wall. I know Ansel didn't like the idea. She didn't like that idea. You don't want a church here, you know. even had some family against me here or whatever. And I mean, I would go in here and try to build something, and it just wouldn't work. I said, okay, I'm going to quit it. I'm just back away from it. I'm not going to do it. A couple of years went by. Tried it again. Everything fell into place. Just click, 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 click. And I don't know what it is about that. It involves humility, and it's temporarily accepting the lesser to achieve the greater. How to fix things. Three, fear is the third point and often keeps us from fixing things. I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the earth, and lo, you have what is yours. And we could talk about what this guy was fearful of. We could say, well, he was fearful of losing his money. Yeah, probably so. But I think there's another fear that he had, and that's the fear of what he might look like to others if he failed. The fear of what he might look like to others if I fail at this. So, what keeps us from being able to fix things? You know, often we don't need to be concerned about what we look like to others. I can fix that. Four, what keeps us from being able to fix things? Lack of endurance. We just start and don't finish. We give up much too easily. But he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. You're not going to fix anything unless you stick to it. Unless you stick to it, you're just not going to fix anything. Five, what keeps us from fixing things in our lives? Laziness. Just downright laziness. The lazy one says, there's a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. And I've always been amazed by that proverb. Because I think, I've heard some good excuses for not working. But this one takes the cake. In fact, I'm going to try it on Ronnie one day. Because, I mean, there's a lot of days I just don't want to get up and work. You know, I'm thinking laziness is coming upon me or something. I don't know what it is. But I'm going to call Ronnie up one day. I'm going to say, Ronnie, I can't get out of my house. There's a lion out in the yard. In fact, I've got an old scraggly, muddy-looking dog with lost all of his hair, but it hadn't lost its hair on the back of its tail. It's got this big, it sort of looks like a lion. It's got mange or something. I don't know what's wrong with that dog, but it is the most disgusting looking pet I've ever had. Lack of faith is number six. Lack of faith is what keeps us from being able to fix things. Lack of faith. You know, faith is being only able to see the next step you've got to take. Only the next step. And we want to see more than that.
Oh, they're not
showing him. Yeah. He's over there fried, you know, his hair sticking straight up. And, you know, the next step for this guy that was hungry, he said, I got to make a spoon to eat my soup. And that was the next step. And often we want to see, well, Lord, I want to see how you're going to feed me for the next 10 years. I want to figure all this out. I want to have a plan. But faith is being able only to see the next step that you must take. You must take. And I think of this verse in Philippians 2 and verse 12 that says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, I know that there's not a person in this room that believes in salvation by works. You understand salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But once having received the Holy Spirit, God says, okay, let's work this out. Let's fix this. There's something you need to fix here in your life. Let's work out your own salvation. And I'm not so concerned about the style by which you fix this. I'm just wanting this thing to be fixed. So what keeps us from being able to fix things? The last one is too concerned with our style. You know, we all have a style about us, you know. We all struggle with the way we look. We all have an ego and, you know, it's like, man, you're cramping my style. I was kidding, you know, it was Tracy when we took the bike to Myrtle Beach. And you know Harley Davidson, it's an image thing. It's an image. It's all about an image, you know. I don't know why people like that image, but it is. It's an image. And I said, Tracy, I said, you've got to approach the hog the right way. You don't just walk up like a nerd or something. You got to strut up to it. You know? You got to approach this bike, huh? Yeah. Yeah. And oh, we got a big kick out of that, you know. I had leather chaps because it was about 25 degrees that morning. Oh, man. But, you know, just kidding around. But seriously, in the Bible, there's a little story. It says, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he has enough to fix it or finish it. Less happily, after he has laid the foundation, is not able to fix it or finish it, all that behold begin to mock him and say, well, this man begins to build and was not able. And here what are we dealing with here? It's the fear of what other people think. And they're pointing at you. He's not able to finish that. His style. And we read earlier about fear. You know, I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the earth, and lo, you have what is yours. The fear of what he might look like to others if he failed. And the focus here is on finishing, because that little word, finish it. Not finishing in style, but finishing it. You know, a lot of times we think, I got to finish in style. I got to look good. I got to look like I know what I'm doing. I was worried about that when I first started preaching. You know, I got to look like I know what I'm doing. I don't worry about it anymore. You know. I want to conclude by turning to John 4 and verse 34. John 4 and verse 34. And again, I want you to think about whatever you're faced with, the statement, I can fix that. Might need some help, but I can fix that. Obviously, you need God's help. John 4 and verse 34, it says, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Jesus was sent to this earth to fix our problem, our sin problem. And he says, this is why I'm sent. I am sent here to fix this, to finish the work. Jesus was concerned with finishing the work. He was not concerned with style. Style would have been entering Jerusalem on a horse, not a donkey. Style would have been calling 12 legions of angels and saying, come down here and let's take care of this. That's style. How much style was there in being crucified? None. But he finished the work. Jesus said, I can fix it.